Welcome to another Ethical Corporation podcast with me, Toby Webb. And joining me in today's podcast is Joe Francis, who's Head of Corporate Responsibility and Sustainability at Coca-Cola Enterprises. So welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thanks for joining us today. Before we start off talking about Coca-Cola Enterprises' new sustainability plan, just tell our listeners the difference between Coca-Cola Enterprises and the Coca-Cola Company.
Okay, so the Coca-Cola Company is the global brand owner of many of the brands and products that you'll know, Coca-Cola, Fanta, Sprite. And Coca-Cola Enterprises is the leading Western European marketer, distributor and producer of Coca-Cola products. So our territories are focused in this country, Great Britain, but also France, the Benelux countries, Norway and Sweden. And of course, very close working relationship with the Coca-Cola Company.
Okay, thanks, Joe. So for the purposes of this podcast, listeners, we're going to stick to Coca-Cola Enterprises' remit and geography, but it's important to understand the differences there. In terms of the new plan you've got out, Joe, I mean, first of all, the big plan is to be a zero-waste business, which is a very ambitious target. There's a few other companies doing this. What kind of changes is that actually going to mean for the way you guys work today versus the way you'll be working in 2020?
Well, let me start by saying that the sustainability plan is a significant milestone for our business. It's been a plan long in the making. It's been informed by a range of stakeholder feedback, stakeholder dialogue, and it's the first time that we've really set a specific vision for what we as a business wish to achieve in terms of sustainability. In terms of zero waste really means two things for our business. So firstly, it's about our own manufacturing operations, and that's where we're going to aim to send zero waste to landfill by 2014, and we're doing well. We've already got about 14 of our 16 manufacturing sites that we have within our European territories already sending zero waste to landfill. But significantly, the zero waste piece is also about our commitment to recycle more packaging than we use. So it has two different elements. In terms of the recycle more packaging than we use, we're currently using about 420,000 tonnes of packaging. We expect that to grow as we grow our business to 2020. And what we're going to do is to make sure that the amount of material that is collected, and that's both collected via national collection schemes, plus all the material that is collected and reprocessed through things that we do, so CCE-led initiatives, is greater than the amount of packaging that we use. And the critical piece there is that that includes material that is reprocessed by CCE. So I'll give you an example. Recently in Great Britain, we've invested in a strategic recycling infrastructure project, specifically around PET reprocessing, newly named Continuum Recycling. That aims to double the amount of food-grade PET that's reprocessed within Great Britain. That's a really tangible example. And that's the kind of thing we'll do in markets where packaging recovery rates are lower. In markets where we have high packaging recovery rates, which includes some of our markets, we'll continue to support existing collection schemes and do everything we can to make sure that as much packaging as possible is collected.
And looking at your carbon emissions targets, there's a couple of numbers here that really struck me. One is that you want to cut your carbon emissions by 33% by 2020, but you're also clearly growing the business and looking also then to cut the absolute carbon footprint by 15%. Just talk us through those two numbers.
So we made a commitment within the plan to reduce the carbon footprint of the drink in your hand by a third, and we'll do that by 2020. And really, this is about a different way of thinking. So for us, this is about focusing on the value chain. And we know that we'll only be able to reduce the footprint of that drink in your hand by a third by delivering carbon reductions throughout every single stage of our value chain. And that's critical. We've analysed our footprint across six main stages of our value chain. So ingredients, packaging, manufacturing, distribution, refrigeration, and recycling. And we're making really strong progress on what we refer to as our core operations, core business operations. So that's the manufacturing, distribution and refrigeration, cold drinks equipment piece of that value chain. And it's there, often referred to as our four walls, as it were. It's there where we've set our 15% absolute carbon reduction target. And that's versus a 2007 baseline. And that's really where we've been over the past 3 to 4 years within our business. But the new way of thinking in terms of the reduction of the carbon footprint of our products, of the drink in your hand, is about widening that view to focus on the value chain. And now significantly to focus on the ingredients and the packaging bit, as well as the end of life piece, the recycling. And so we know from our analysis that packaging accounts at the moment for somewhere in the region of 48% of the total carbon emissions across our value chain. And that gives you some idea of where we have to focus in the future. And so we're aiming to put a program in place to do a number of things to make sure that our packaging is as sustainable as possible. So that's where you get the both the by a third number and the absolute carbon reduction commitment across our core business operations of 15%. Worth saying as well that we've got a number of specific carbon reduction targets in each element of that value chain. So there's a target specifically on transportation and distribution. There's a target specifically around refrigeration as well, and a target specifically on packaging.
Which one of those is going to be the most difficult to meet those challenges?
I think undoubtedly the packaging piece will be difficult. Not that any of them will be easy. We know that the 15% absolute reduction across core business operations is a huge stretch for our business. And I guess worth saying that all of the targets that we've set are a real stretch. At this stage, we don't know how we're going to meet all of those targets. We know we can get some way towards them, but we also know that collaboration, partnership, and actually innovation as well will be absolutely critical in helping us get there. So we know we've set the right direction, we don't know how we're going to get there. And that's a difficult challenge for any business that does that. But for us, packaging is the big issue. We have, within our new sustainability plan, indicated that we are going to focus on sustainable packaging, ensuring that our packaging is as low carbon and as sustainable as possible. We've talked about setting the standard for sustainable packaging within our plan. And that means a range of things. That means reducing the amount of material we use. It means using material from recycled and also renewable content. It also means ensuring that all of our bottles and cans are fully recyclable. And I guess most recently, and you've seen us start to use plant bottle for our PET bottles. And that's an area where we'll continue to innovate. And we'll apply our knowledge and experience to find this, we're referring to this optimal mix of both renewable and recycled content. So that's recycled PET and plant PET. And that enables us to balance technology, carbon, resource use to gain the most sustainable bottle possible.
Because you don't always want things to be totally biodegradable, of course, and release carbon. Sometimes you want to be able to recycle that PET. What's the sort of highest number that you guys have talked about internally around PET content? The plant-based content. So I think it's about 15% at the moment.
So at the moment, the plant bottle that exists in the market, you can buy it today within I think all of Coca-Cola Enterprises territories, is a bottle that contains 25% recycled content. And then in addition to that, an element of that bottle, up to 22.5%, in addition to the 25%, is renewable materials. So materials that are made from plant-based sources. So that currently gives you a bottle that is just shy of 50% made of recycled renewable materials. In the future, that may well change. But at the moment, that's pretty much the limit if we're looking to combine recycled material together with plant-based material.
And coming on to the topic of water, water stress has had some consequences, fairly or unfairly, for the Coca-Cola global brand, I think it's fair to say, in the last 5 or 10 years. You have committed in your plan to say that where you are sourcing from areas of water stress, you are going to return to nature that water using community-based water programs. That sounds like quite a big challenge. How do you plan to get there?
I mean, it's a huge challenge. It's a really significant challenge. But it's also a challenge that's core to our water commitment that we've made in the plan. And it's core to our water strategy. So we've spoken specifically in our sustainability plan about setting the standard for water efficiency. And we've referred to a water sustainable operation. Now, for us, that's about four things. It's most importantly about protecting our water sources. So we already undertake a lot of work on what we refer to as source water vulnerability assessments, actually looking at where we draw water from and looking at where those sources might be vulnerable, both today but also in the future. And then as a result of that, we're putting in place what we refer to as source water protection plans. So doing the right things locally to make sure that the water that we use, and particularly the sources of water that we use, can be protected going forward. That's one of the core pillars. That, together with our work to reduce the amount of water we use, so you've seen in the plan that we're setting ourselves a hugely challenging target of 1.2 litres of water per litre of product we produce. And then our third element of our water strategy is all about recycling 100% of the wastewater. And that brings us quite nicely to replenishing then the water that goes into our products. And that's the piece that you're referring to. And you're absolutely right, that is a challenge. The first piece of that is about looking at where our manufacturing sites are, and then putting on top of that map, a map of water stress. And really important that we look at both water from a water quantity and also a water quality perspective. So for us, that means focusing our efforts in areas like the southeast of England, southern France, and also the Flanders region of Belgium. And they are areas that we know suffer mainly from water stress due to population density. And then as a result of that, we then will look to identify local community-based partnerships, which will allow us to work locally. So looking at work, for example, on the restoration of watersheds or the improving of river quality. And key will be meeting local needs. It will be about meeting local needs, prioritising highest risk, but also looking at highest impact. And I guess one of the biggest challenges in terms of water is the difficulty about measuring, particularly measuring the benefits and quantifying the benefits of our work. And luckily, as part of the Coca-Cola system, the Coca-Cola company has done a lot of work in setting a methodology, all publicly available, around how you measure the benefits of water replenishment programs.
Okay, moving on to talk briefly about suppliers. Clearly, it's one of the biggest areas for companies wishing to make progress on sustainability, is getting those suppliers to cut their environmental impact, but also to be sustainable socially as well. And of course, a lot of these suppliers have lower margins. It's harder for them, is the perception at least, than it is sometimes for the big brands. So how do you plan to support them on their journey? Because it's one thing just to turn around and say, okay, guys, here's the plan, get on with it. But if they haven't got the money or the resources to do it, what can you and should you do to support them?
So I think the whole area of suppliers, you're absolutely right, is absolutely critical to our plan. We have been very clear that collaboration, partnership and innovation is going to be a key theme for us, but also critical in helping us deliver all against all of our targets. We know that our suppliers are absolutely critical in every single strand within our value chain. So we've been doing some really interesting things over the past couple of years to work with our suppliers on this whole agenda. So a couple of examples. We've had, on an annual basis now, for the past couple of years, an annual supplier sustainability summit. And that's an event where we bring together our top suppliers, we brief them on what we're looking at doing, and then we collaborate with them through workshops, discussion, dialogue, looking at how we can work more collaboratively in partnership to deliver against sustainability aims. As part of that, we've had, for the last couple of years, we've had a CRS Supplier of the Year award. So the two companies I would call out there are Smurfit Kappa and Howard Tennant's that have won that award in the past couple of years. But I guess critically, we have been integrating, quite quietly in many ways, integrating corporate responsibility and sustainability principles into our supplier relationship management processes. So our procurement team have built a considerable amount of knowledge and expertise on CRS within the past couple of years. And that's brought us to the stage that earlier this year we launched with our suppliers something called a carbon challenge. So specifically a supplier carbon challenge. And that challenge asked our top tier suppliers not just to disclose carbon information through corporate responsibility reporting or the CDP, but actually dig into the carbon impact of the slice that they do that relate of their business that relates directly to Coca-Cola Enterprises. And that's led, as you can imagine, to some really interesting discussions around not just the disclosure of data and information, but actually how we can then work together collaboratively to bring down carbon as it relates to our business. And that's been a really interesting exercise. We're really at the very earliest stages. So we're at year one of that carbon supplier challenge. And it will undoubtedly, as with the rest of the plan, it will evolve. But at the moment, we're having some really good constructive dialogue with our suppliers who recognise that the issue of collaboration is as much as important is for us as it is for them.
I suppose, given your geographical focus, most of your big suppliers are Western Europe-based.
They are Western European-based, but of course, many of them will be Western European-based, but operating across the globe. So many of their impacts stray into other areas and other geographies that are outside of our territory. And that's the nature of our supply chain too.
So we've talked a little bit about collaboration there. So there's two angles to collaboration, to my mind. One is collaboration with suppliers, and the other is, you know, big brand collaboration. Lots of people talking about this. I don't hear as many specifics as I would like. So, you know, let me throw the word PepsiCo at you for a minute. What can you, should you, might you do with companies like PepsiCo on the collaboration bit before you start competing?
Well, I think you raise a good issue that the future on this space is not just about 100% competition. It is a balance between competition, because some of this does lead to competitive advantage, and we're clear on that. But it's also about probably a 50-50 split with collaboration and competition. So there are things that we're doing to share our knowledge and understanding with others, whether it's through trade associations, whether it's through some of the dialogue that we have specifically with our suppliers, with our customers as well. And there will be areas that are appropriate for us to share with competitors on. They may be things around sustainable packaging. They may be things around, you raised the issue before, of water replenishment, where we have a methodology for measuring the benefits of water replenishment. That's something that's in the public domain. And so there will be areas going forward where we can share as well as collaborate.
Is there any of that sharing going on at the moment with, you know, the big name competitors such as a PepsiCo? Or is this on the cards for the near future?
I think it's something that we have to look at. I think that there are many discussions happening with other leading brand and fast-moving consumer good manufacturers. And they're happening in a whole range of different forums, whether they are trade associations or some of the more international consumer goods-based forums that we're both represented in. So I think those discussions are happening.
So the Sustainability Consortium.
I don't know the details on that specifically, okay. but there are those discussions happening at a top level, and I think they're exciting. We'll see more of that going forward, but they have to be appropriate, and there is a balance between competition and collaboration.
Moving on to talk about briefly sustainable agriculture, a lot of the really leading companies in other areas, but also increasingly in your space too, are looking at having a natural capital ecosystem services strategy. How is that looking from Cocoa Enterprises' point of view? Is that a big part of your future plans?
I think what I'd say on sustainable agriculture is that for us this is a very new area. So within our sustainability plan, we've highlighted the whole issue of ingredients being 16% of the carbon footprint of our value chain. So we've looked at that, we know it's a significant issue, and also, quite frankly, as we grow our business, it's an issue that's going to grow in terms of relevance, and most probably percentage terms in terms of our total carbon footprint in terms of the value chain. At the moment, we're at the beginning of our journey. We're working very closely with colleagues at the Coca-Cola Company. There is a Coca-Cola system-wide global sustainable agriculture program. For us, we'll be focusing specifically on sugar, at least initially. And it's an area that I think we will be looking to learn and collaborate with others. We do not have the answers in this area. And there are many companies that are looking at the whole topic of sustainable agriculture. And this is probably one that is ripe and rich for the collaboration piece.
Just to finish off then, I wanted to ask you about how you measure the impacts of partnerships, particularly some of the larger NGOs where you have big partnerships like WWF. Do you demonstrate the sort of value per dollar spent in ecological or social improvement? How does that work in terms of justification for continuing these sorts of things?
I think we see a range of different business benefits from our corporate responsibility partnerships. I mean, many of them will drive efficiency and effectiveness within our business. Many of them will help us, for example, meet our customers' or stakeholder expectations. Many of them also will be a real driver of employee engagement, actually. And that's one of the big areas that we look to measure in terms of our corporate responsibility program. In terms of our partnerships, we're not currently disclosing, for example, carbon per dollar spent or litres of water per dollar spent, but that is something we're looking at measuring internally. So whenever we make an investment, whether it's a CapEx investment or whether it's an investment in a partnership, we will look at the carbon or the water that we get for the dollar that we invest. And it's around trying to gain a return on that invested capital. And that would be a return in environmental terms. Something that's very hard to establish, but something that we're increasingly looking at.
Great. Well, listeners, we're out of time. But Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak with us today. Listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, you can find more of them on iTunes by searching for Ethical Corporation Podcast. Also, be come back to the website soon. Thanks.
Thank you.